Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Tuesday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the Pugilist Corner, presented by the Sports Crib. Yes, the Sports Crib, be sure and tune in every Thursday. We have a brand new host now, Mr. Kalani Lua, and he will be always catching us up on the latest in sports, NBA, MLB, MMA, all things sports. The Sports Crib, hosted by Mr. Kalani Lua. Well, right now, we are waiting for our first guest, Mr. Kid Chocolate. He's now training for his tune-up fight, which will be in a few weeks, I believe. And Peter is going to come in and talk with us for a little bit. He's going to be facing Michael Zerofa. In a 12-round, I think it might even be a 10-round bout, but it's going to be on the Premier Boxing Champions on September 12th. We're looking forward to having Kid Chocolate back in the ring. Of course, we all know he hasn't been in the ring since April, I believe it was, April of last year. So we're looking to see Kid return to the ring. This would possibly set up that next fight that we're looking for between him and Mr. Danny Jacobs. Hey, in the Barclays Center, both gentlemen being from New York, another New York battle royale. So we're looking forward to that and hoping we can get him on the set as soon as possible here. Just got a note back from Miss Tiffany Carter, his publicist, and she says they're trying to get him on now, so we should have him shortly. Once again, shout outs to Miss Tiffany Carter, his publicist. Always good working with the young lady, even though Peter is training out here back east in New York. She does all of his work from out here in L.A. So a lot of times it's a little hard for us to get the time differences together, the 3 hours, of course. Peter, former WBO middleweight champion, always a pleasure having him on the show. And, we understand he has a lot of obligations. And bear with us for a few minutes, and I'm sure we'll get the champion as soon as possible. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit more about some of our other guests tonight. Our next guest after Peter will be Mr. Trey Lippe Morrison. As you know, I'm sure if you're anywhere near the world of boxing, you've heard that Mr. Morris, the son of heavyweight Tommy Morrison, is being trained out in L.A. now by Mr. Freddie Roach. So, kudos go out to Mr. Morrison. I believe the last time we had him on the show, he was fighting in Oklahoma. I believe it was Michael Foster, I believe he was fighting at that particular time. Matt Foster, that's right, Matt Foster. He was fighting Matt Foster at the Buffalo Run Casino in Miami. So it's going to be Mm-hmm. Blog Talk Radio might be having problems. Peter said he's trying to call but not getting through. So let's send in the number again, make sure everything's fine here. Let's see if we can get him. Let's see if we can get Mr. Quillen. Seem to be having a little problems here with Blog Talk Radio today getting through. Let's try again. Well, let's see what's going on here with Blog Talk Radio. We're having really big problems here tonight. Let's see if let's try it once again. Let's see if this will let us call out here. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. It seems like we're having problems getting our guest tonight. Still having problems here with Blog Talk Radio. Still trying to get Peter on the line. Let's see. We're going to try one more time. Try a different line. Gets a little frustrating. Let's see if we can try to call Mr. Quillen. Still getting the call failed and not answered signs. So I guess I'm going to cancel tonight's show. I will try to get our other guests on next week with Mr. Tommy Kaczmarek. If by some chance we can get Blog Talk back up and running again, I will be back on. I'm going to try for the next 10 minutes and see what's up here. But give me a few moments, folks, and let's see if we can get this problem straightened out. Thank you, and hey, let's see if we can get a show on tonight. Very frustrating, Blog Talk Radio. What's up here?
Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to try this again. Evidently, we were having some problems with Blog Talk Radio and the switchboard. So let's try again and see if we can get this show started. It looks like things are working out better now. So maybe we can get a show going here. Hello, Mr. Cullen. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. First of all, let me get this. Let me apologize for being a little late here. We were having some technical difficulties, and hey, I'm very sorry, Beef Champ. But as you know, you're one of our favorite guests. So hey, let's get this show on the road, my man.
Let's do it.
Champ, how have you been, man? It's been quite a long time since we've seen you in the ring. I do happen to catch you at quite a few of the fight venues, and it's always glad to see you on the scene. But how have you and the family been doing, my man?
Man, it's been wonderful, man. I've just been so inspired, man. My son is getting big so fast. I'm glad that I just get to spend the moments that I get to spend with him. So I'm enjoying that. You know, I'm trying to be a better husband to my wife, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's like trying to get my spiritual life in order, man, and getting more connected with God, bro, because it's the only way to live, you know what I'm saying? And that's really what I've been working on, and then staying in shape, man, staying motivated and staying encouraged to do more and accomplish more in boxing, man.
Well, look, before we talk about boxing, let's talk a little bit about that encouragement, you know, and that sense of family that you have, because that's one thing that we always enjoy about when we talk to you, your sense of family, your sense of where you've been, where you're going, and your goals. So talk a little bit, you know, just about that part of your life, the spirituality, you know, and how you've grown and how you've gotten closer to your son and your family.
Well, let's just say first and foremost, how I'm getting connected more with my son is just giving him as much time as I can while I'm there, you know what I'm saying? While I'm here. I'm doing camp here this time in New York so I could be close to them, because never had a family training for boxing and never realized how hard it is to be away from your family weeks at a time, and, you know, having a wife that just got to take care of you. My wife's got a full-time job, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, just working together as a team with her, it's been difficult because of my lifestyle and me being a boxer, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to find ways that I could be happy and she could be happy, and most importantly, to get the best son and the best life to my son, you know what I mean? So that's what we've been working on, my details, and I'm still encouraged because, you know, I have an opportunity to do some great things in and off the ring, you know what I'm saying? Outside the ring, I just want to make sure I make enough money so I can, like, you know, set up a retirement plan that my son don't have to struggled with education like I did growing up with, you know, poor public school systems and stuff like that, that I can get him in the best school I can if possible and get him the best edge of life where he could become, you know, off his free will, could be, you know, good as he wants to be and be encouraged just to be good at free will, you know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know what I mean, that's the type of things that I'm shooting for with my goals. It's trying to buy property in my hometown. So I'm just trying to, like, you know what I mean, Grand Rapids, Michigan, rather, because it's on the Forbes list as number two best city to invest in property because of the money is coming to the city. That in Dallas, Texas. You know what I'm saying? So they both on the Forbes list as the best city to live in right now. So, you know, I'm buying property. I own one crib. I put a bed in for my uncle's house who passed away with cancer. So, you know, I'm trying to own a lot of property there and start a company where, you know, me and my friends, we're partners and we just, you know, trying to, you know, not live off the streets, you know what I'm saying, and do what we did as kids. And, you know, we're growing older and, you know, it's motivating me to be, you know, a good person. I finished a acting class, 6-week course at the William Esper School right here in Manhattan. I did pretty good. I did a movie, you know, a little course, but it's inspired me that after my career in boxing, maybe I should fall into the thrill of being an actor. You know, if that's God, I feel like if that's the way he wants me to go, then I'm going to secure my future in that by just, you know, sitting down and looking it out with God.
Well, you know, Peter, you know, we've seen you on quite a few, you know, TV segments and interviews and whatnot. You know, you talk about acting, but, hey, man, you know, there's some color analyst spots here. There seems to be some opening up. I'm looking at, you know, Antonio Tarver, Roy Jones, and all these guys, you know, Danny Jacobs. I mean, all these guys are coming in, you know. When are we going to see the kid behind the mic?
Well, anytime I can get the call, I mean, when they want to use me. But like I said, you know, I guess I'm a performer. I love the arts, you know what I mean? I love to perform, man. So, like, when I did that movie with Miles Teller, man, it was, like, one of the best moments I had in my life to be able to do something like that. And, you know, during the class, it got me in touch with who I was as a person. And who I'm inspired to be, you know. And a lot of emotions that I have, you know, I've been took away deep. I had to reopen those things, and I had to deal with them. You know what I'm saying? And I think with that, that's what comes with the acting is being involved with your emotions and being able to, you know who you are and being able to play different things that, you know, play off your emotions. You know what I mean? That's why I can see, like, why a lot of people can go crazy with acting, because you have to really, you know, open up some real emotional points in your life, and you just got to deal with them and let them go, you know what I'm saying? And not a lot of people is willing to do that. You know, but as far as the analyst, I guess you got to go with your thrill. So, you know, all those guys that you just mentioned, you know, I think they're good commentators, you know what I mean? And I think if that's what their thrill is, then they should pursue their thrill, you know what I mean?
Oh, most definitely.
But thank you, for the compliment, though.
Well, I mean, hey, I mean, you're very articulate. You know, you do know the game. You know exactly what's going on in the ring. So, I mean, you know, to me, it would be a natural progression. But, kid, you know, I want to talk to you about your advisor just for a moment. I'm not going to draw it out or nothing like that. But, you know, we've had so many things said about Mr. Al Haymon. I'm from a city very close to Cleveland, so I'm kind of familiar with a lot of the things that he does. And we always hear the negative when we talk about Al Haymon. But whenever you talk to a fighter that he advises, they have nothing but the best to say about Mr. Haymon, influence on the sport. I mean, you know, just the TV series. Talk to us a little bit about what it to be advised by Mr. Al Haymon, you know, and how he's helped you. I mean, I know he's helped a lot of his fighters, but how he's kind of helped you through some of the hard times, you know, on a personal level, not on a business level.
On a personal level, he just kind of made me understand that, like, you got to be able to make decisions for yourself that you can live with. You know what I'm saying? And for me, Nobody was ever telling me that. Everybody almost seemed like they wanted me to make the decision that they wanted me to make because they was involved or whatever the case may be. Nothing that Al has done but besides giving advice about how to make better decisions for myself. You know what I'm saying? And that's the main thing. And I'm inspired because the black guy who's got to a level where he's able to, you know, help people secure legacies and fortune for themselves and a way for life for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I started a plan for my son because of Al's payment. And saying, you know, you should think about, you know, education plans for your kid. Things like that, man. You know, guys that don't have to take time to do that, man. You know what I'm saying? Just let you know that the character. See, a lot of people don't recognize, man, it's not who you are in front of the people. It's who you are behind closed doors. That's what really counts. And that goes for me in spiritual life, you know what I mean? Because you can, outside of the ring, have your you can have your face on like you're this great person and you have this straight image, and then behind closed doors, you're a really effed up person. You know what I'm saying? It really don't match. But, like, all around the game, you know, a lot of people have criticized Al because he has no face. Nobody can see who he is. They don't know what he does. And behind closed doors, he's been helped change a lot of fighters, certain fighters that actually get to listen to them, but also to provide opportunities to fighters who need the opportunity.
Most definitely. Like I said, I mean, I think, you know, behind the mystique, you know, just behind the fact that Al doesn't do a lot of interviews and he's not out there in the public, you know, so it's very easy for people in the boxing public to pick the guy that you can't see. But,
this is what I find bugged out, though. It's like, they want a guy to become a face of something that he don't have to be a face of. Like, he giving the fighters faces of the company. PBC is like an umbrella where the fighters have the faces. Danny Garcia, Kid Chocolate, you know, all the other fighters that they have, they underneath the PBC umbrella, Stevenson. All these guys got the faces and their own brand working along PBC, which is like, to me, like a league, like an NFL, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know what I mean, it's creating a face for a fighter to be able to make a living, make a fade, get some recognition of their hard work, you know what I'm saying?
Precisely. And I think, you know, that's another thing that people, you know, have a misconception, you know. Al, as you said, is an advisor. He's not a manager. He's not a promoter. Al advises his fighters and makes sure, you know, I mean, when you see, the PBS series, it's not like you see Golden Boy and you see the face of Oscar out there, or you see Top Rank and you see Bob Arum out there. You know, the only thing that you see in the PBC series, you see the fighter. The fighter goes into the ring. And they fight. I mean, you know, and to me, this is, I mean, even though, you know, you don't have all the entourages and all like this, but to me, this concentrates the audience attention on the fighter. Here, talk to me about, you know, just the advancement that you guys were to make through this PBC series and set up and all the different venues that we have now for boxing?
Well, let's first and foremost say I could walk in New York City and people recognize me. It's the first time in my career with 32 fights now. Been boxing for over 10 years. Been fighting on HBO, fought on Showtime, fought on ESPN. Now fighting on primetime TV and on a lot of different networks where it's not had to be controlled by one network and you just had the opportunity to fight on many other networks. To me, it's like, it's a good thing to be able to get your face out there for doing something that's so hard as boxing. You know what I mean? The hardest thing to deal with is telling people to tell me I'm scared of this person, scared of that person, I don't want to fight this one, why I fight this person. Like, they don't understand that boxing is a business, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to be able to be on a network where you could do business with many other networks, CBS, NBC, NBC Sports, ESPN, Showtime, you know what I mean? All these different networks, bro, to have a opportunity to make a living off of, man, it's a great thing for fighters, man. I just hope the fighters, with the money they make and the recognition they get, they do the right thing with that, meaning, like, you know, you have kids watching you who can be inspired by you or they can hate you. It's more so better to have kids inspired by you to, you know, want to go on in life and maybe change a kid to know that whatever they put their mind to, they can do it too.
Most definitely, you know, and that does provide a lot of inspiration to a lot of kids or young men out there in the boxing game that we really need to cultivate and keep this game going. Let's talk a little bit now. You know, we know that you haven't been in the ring since April of last year. So let's talk a little bit about your long layoff and what is your mental conditioning during all this time. How do you manage to stay focused even though you haven't been in the ring for such a long time?
All right, because I keep the encouragement and the motivation by saying, okay, I worked plenty of jobs before where I had to go to work every day, and it was like 8 hours for work, and it was like I hate my job. You know what I'm saying? Now I was like I could set up my job where I could feel comfortable. I'm in the gym 2 to 2.5 hours. Now since we doing camp, we run in the morning. We got a kind of a full schedule. You know what I mean? So it's like crazy, but like outside of that, it's like I got to just go to the gym, work out for a couple hours, and get out of there and go spend time with my family. Go enjoy the fruits of labor, you know, chilling with friends, being inspired, you know, driving my car on the West Side Highway. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just staying motivated because I work so hard to be where I'm at that, you know what I mean, the work don't stop now. So as soon as you get a chance to be comfortable, then that's when you, I think, for the most part, lose. You know what I'm saying? You want to always be inspired to, like, go out there and work, put the work in, and do what you got to do to secure a future for your family. So I keep that in the back of my mind. So I'm always doing Soul Cycle in the sauna. I'm in the spot right now just chilling, relaxing because we had a hard day at work today. Yesterday was a hard day, so we just relaxing, drinking tea, you know what I mean, and make this part of just my lifestyle because it's better to live this life than going to work 8 hours a day at a job that you hate. Not to say that people got to hate their job that they do, and I just feel like if that's what you feel like you meant to do, then you do it. But if not, then you always should find what is truly lying in your heart. Be smart with yourself and be willing to work towards where you want to be at in life. Give it a shot because everything is worth a shot. And if you feel like that, at least you try. You know what I'm saying? And for me, that's the best part of living in life, that I'm able to live, do life that I want, and it happens to be boxing. So, you know, I'm in the gym. I'm in the gym often right now, 6 days a week.
Yeah, well, kid, we've always known you to have a great work ethic and to be in the gym. But, you know, now, not to bring up anything negative, but, you know, we did see that you had a little trouble making weight in your last fight there. But now, so tell me, have you brought anything new into your training regime since you've had that little weight problem?
I'm just trying to stay strict on my diet. You know, like, let's say I was over 160 pounds since I was 18 years old. I'm 32 now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like since I was 18 to 32 now, I've just been, like, the same weight. How many people you know that just stay consistently the same weight? I'm getting older, so eventually maybe it's time for me to go up in weight soon. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So but right now we're going to try to, like, bust our tail to make the weight, do what we got to do, and if it feels to the point where I'm just, like, too weak and just too much and it sends me to too many bad mind states that I consider going up a weight. But right now we're just going to see how it pans out for my next fight. You know, we got some big opportunities at 160 with some of the guys there. You know, we also have available catch weights that we can always take as well. You know what I'm saying? I got a good enough name where, you know, it'd be some money drawn and we can be at catch weights now. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's important that I just basically try my hardest, make sure I sacrifice enough where I'm not cheating myself. It's not like I'm out here just eating pounds of cookies and shit. You know, I'm excuse my language, but You know what I mean?
Oh.
I'm out here doing the best that I can do. You know what I mean? I'm just getting older and older, older in my life now, and I just, you know, everything is a new change for me, including my age. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
Oh yeah, you know, I
I'm a two-way.
I can tell you from experience,
you started,
man. Once you start getting older, you know, hey, it's hard. Not only is it harder to take the weight off, but it's harder to keep it off. You know, your
right.
metabolism changes and things like that. You know, hey man, I'm telling you, you know, I grew up mostly, you know, out in the streets and in the military. So, you know, when I was in my 30s, it was, you know, just like you, it was kind of easy to make weight. But as soon as I got about 35 years old, all of a sudden you started getting that little tire around your waist. You know, instead of that being able to run 5 miles in the morning, you get down, you know, now I can only run like 4.5 or 4.2. You know, I mean, you know, hey,
right.
it's just called maturity, and your body starts doing things a little bit different. Kiddo, I want to, before we talk about your fight, I want to talk about a couple little other things here. We got a couple fights coming up, Triple G and Lemieux. Kid, what's your take on that fight? And who do you see coming out a winner in this fight? And, you know, what do you think? Do you think this is a good fight for the fans?
I mean, of course. Everybody likes to see somebody going in and punch, you know, those two punchers who really take, there's no art in what they do. You know what I'm saying? There's really no art besides the brutality in it. You know what I'm saying? If you know what I mean by that. Like, they both take a lot of punches. You know what I mean? And for me, since David Lemieux already lost two fights, and I believe he got stopped, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we already know with that, he's able to get stopped again. You know what I mean? But this is boxing, so anything is possible, and especially in this kind of fight, anything's possible with two heavy punchers. But, like, Gennady Golovkin has been groomed as the next big thing, and he's been going out there proving in there with every guy he stepped in there with. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be, like, the one that criticizes his game, but I'm going to side with Gennady Golovkin only because he has never lost. And, you know, David Lemieux has. I believe he lost to Marco Antonio Rubio, correct?
Yes. Yes, he did.
All right,
then.
So that's a guy that Gennady Golovkin knocked out, correct? Stopped.
Yep.
So.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, this bout is for somebody that wants to see two guys that they go in there and just wing it, more or less. Like you said, I mean, there isn't going to be no finesse to this whatsoever. It's not going to be a boxing exhibition, you know. So, you know, if you come in looking for a fight,
this is a fight.
Yeah. Right. This is a fight. This is not a place fight. This is really a fight. Now,
yeah.
Let's kind of go to the other end of the spectrum here. Now, we see that Floyd has decided that Berto is going to be his last bout. Kid, do you really think? I mean, is this really a fight? You know, if this is going to be his last fight, is this really a fight that you think Floyd wants to make? His last legacy fight?
I mean, who else was in there in the division that we could have seen him, like, fight? They wanted to see Pacquiao beat him up. We've been hearing for years that he was going to lose against Pacquiao. That's what we've been hearing for so many years now. And soon he stepped in there with Pacquiao, and it's like, he won. Now it's like something wrong with the man's shoulder. It was too late to fight. All these things came in play, so... And from what I know, was it Amir Khan wasn't going to be ready for the fight because of Ramadan, correct?
Yeah, you know, Amir Khan did say, you know, that he would possibly decide to forego Ramadan for this. But actually, I really think that, you know, I don't think this is going to be Floyd's last fight, but we'll talk about that at a different time.
Yeah, right. I think anything is possible. I mean, if he said it, I'm going to take the man work.
Now, you know, but sticking with Floyd now, you know, Floyd kind of, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, almost anything he says can be construed almost any way. But Floyd, he made a, you know, they asked Floyd who was his top five fighters of all time. Now, of course, he named himself number one, but he put Muhammad Ali at number five. Kid, if you had to name your top five fighters of all time, who would they be?
I mean, me personally, I mean, my reasons will be different from Floyd. Floyd took it as before the accomplishments and, you know, his personal favorites. You know, I believe in my heart that, you know, you could place Sugar Ray Robinson. You could pick Muhammad Ali. You can also pick Floyd Mayweather. Any different one of them could be one or the two or three. They could be switched for any other reason. So you could put Floyd Mayweather number one, or you could put Muhammad Ali number one, or you could put Sugar Ray Robinson number one. But my top five, my personal favorite is Sugar Ray Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Floyd Mayweather. My last two, it'd be kind of, like, difficult to put them in there. But, like, Tito Trinidad I would put. And then, man, it's kind of hard to even pick them. It'd be hard to pick my last two, but I will definitely put Trinidad with Sugar Ray Leonard. But then, will Floyd take Roberto Duran? Because at the time, Roberto Duran was like the best 130, the best lightweight that ever graced that stand. You know what I'm saying? And went up to different weight classes and beat the one that we would consider one of the best fighters of all time, Sugar Ray Leonard at his time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not really criticizing Floyd's list in the sense of the names of the fighters that he put in there, but I mean, you know, I just thought, you know, Muhammad Ali to most of us, and especially my generation, Muhammad Ali is.
You pick him because of what he stood for during what he fought through outside of the ring. Majority, it's because of what kind of star he became outside of the ring. You know what I mean? But when Floyd said. Well, why did they play him? He said, well, he only fought in one weight class. And when you think about it, you know what I'm saying? That is true to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? He fought only one weight class, and you got guys like Henry Armstrong, who went up one of the first fighters to win, held a title in three different weight classes at the same time.
Oh, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, he included one of my favorite fighters.
Let's just say Sugar Ray Robinson. Was one of the best. He had 149 knockouts, bro.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and he also put you know, I mean, he put Sweet Pea in there, and anybody, you know, that loves the game. You know, has to love Sweet Pea, that defense. You know, I might not have put Duran and Julio Cesar Chavez in there, but I mean, you know, like you said, the other kind of,
I guess it's all about what's your personal faith for whatever reason why you put them. You gave me your top five. It's going to be different from the next person and the next person only because everybody's entitled to have their own. They own top five the way they feel they're supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? That Trinidad wouldn't even belong in a top five, but he's my personal guy. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time.
Oh, hey, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, at some point it becomes a personal preference. Felix Trinidad definitely has, you know, I mean, he has a reputation. He's proved himself. I mean, you know, like you say, I mean, you could put some other fighters in there. You could take some out. But like you said, it's very objective. But let's kind of get back to Peter Cullen here. Let's talk a little bit about your upcoming opponent. Do you know much about him? Have you seen any tape or you know, what's your kind of like your training regimen for him?
Man, I'm just getting ready like I'm getting ready for a fight in the world, man. Like anybody I will get ready for. That's what I'm doing now. I know he's from Australia. I've seen a couple seconds of video of him and just whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's how I live. Like, I'm really interested in a fight with Danny Jacobs, so I know I have to make a a statement for this fight, regardless of the fact, to be able to be groomed and ready for that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's calling me out. He wants some smoke, and I don't think he really wants the smoke, but I'm going to have to give it to him because he asked him for it.
Yeah. Now, you and Danny kind of go back a little ways. Is it through the amateurs or just through the pros?
Being in New York City.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, you know, I mean, what more can you say?
I'm going to ask you a question. Keep it alive. My name is big. It got big just because I stayed dedicated. Even he had a name before, he lost, and it was bigger than mine. And then I fought a pro before him, and then he sat on his butt, and now he's trying to make a comeback. And then since then, I've been on a climb to where I'm at right now. It never stops. But I'm in his backyard where he was born and raised at, and I moved here when I was 18, and Brooklyn is mine. How do you think that should make somebody feel?
Well, you know, you've had some of your best performances in the Barclays Center, you know, in front of your own home crowd there.
I'm the first fighter to win a title that's representing New York in the Barclays Center. I'm the first fighter. And nobody's going to be able to ever rob me of that.
Most definitely. Like I said, I mean,
it's good
know, we love
it's good. It's good story and everything for me. The fight. But like I said, I don't want to get too big for my britches and overlook the guy I'm going to be in front of me. Like I said, I take him serious like any other guy, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we're preparing for. But like, I hear Danny talking.
Oh, you have
get too prideful.
Come on, kid. I mean, you know, they've kind of drug your name through the mud a few times, but every time that they do, you end up coming out on the other side smelling like roses, like you just came out of a fresh shower. So,
with the same humble spirit that I have when I went in the match, never nothing different. You ain't saying nothing different.
That's why we love and appreciate you, kid. Love having you on the show because you are consistent. No matter whether I talked to you 3 years ago or I talked to you last night, you're still that same humble young gentleman, with very family oriented. And hey, we love everything that you stand for, and we wish you nothing but success in the ring, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You talk a little bit about what you anticipate. Are you trying to get a Jacobs fight for the beginning of the year? Just kind of give us your final words.
Working my heart for that fight to happen at the end before the end of the year.
All right. Well, hey, you know, I mean, we look forward to having it announced. And like I said, as always, my man, we look forward. We're glad to have you on the show. And we look forward to having you back after your next victory. So you have a great night.
I want to say one thing. I want to thank all my followers, all my fans. I want to thank Pugilist Corner for always catching the latest picks for me. I want to thank one most important person, and that's Life of Jesus Christ. I want to be the first fighter that mentions my spiritual life, like every other fighter has the opportunity to do. You know, Amir Khan is a full-blown Muslim. Muhammad Ali is a Muslim. I'm a straight Christian man, and I want to just let people know that the life of Jesus Christ was great and inspired me to be who I'm trying to be always in my whole life.
Hey, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate your honesty and your authenticity for always being you, kid. So, as I said, my man, you know, we look forward to having you on after your next victory. Announced the Danny Jacobs fight, and we thank you for your time, man, and appreciate all
you
do for the future.
Thanks,
Danny. You have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you. And that was Mr. Kid Chocolate. Finally got him on the show. Glad to have him around. And we're looking to grab our next guest and get him in here right quick. We're running a little bit behind schedule, but we are going to get everyone in tonight. So we're going to get Mr. Trey Morrison in next. Yeah, let's grab his number. Good evening, Trey. How are you doing this evening?
Doing good. You?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great, my man. We're having a few little difficulties here, so I'm kind of running a little late. I hope it's not too much of an inconvenience for you.
No, it's not. Yeah, you're perfectly fine. But is there any way I can't hear you very good.
Is that better?
Yeah, that is better.
Okay, all right. We are having a few problems with our technical problems here, but we will try to go ahead and get through this. Now, where are you? Are you out here in L.A. or are you back at home?
I'm out in L.A. right now. I'm in Hollywood.
Ah, okay. I was just really close to your area yesterday. My brother lives up there in North Hollywood, and we're pretty close to the Wild Card Gym. But Trey, the last time I had you on the show, I believe it was before your fight with Matt Foster, and quite a lot has happened since then. So let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, let's talk about your move from Oklahoma to L.A. What was that like? And, you know, leaving family and familiar surroundings to come up and train a Wild Card.
As far as boxing goes, it's been perfect. You know, I needed to make that move, and everything that I've learned while I've been here has been amazing. So that was a move that, you know, with no questions asked, I had to do that. Now, family-wise and living here arrangements, that's been a little different than just some stuff I had to get used to. But, you know, I'll get used to it. It's all for the better good.
Now, you know, haven't been around, like I said, up in North Hollywood. I live down in San Diego, which is a little bit slower, or, you know, not quite as fast-paced as Hollywood. But how was it getting into, you know, the feeling and the pace of just from, you know, the hustle and bustle there in L.A., and, you know, I would assume the sort of easy type of life, or, you know, a more comfortable life in Oklahoma without all of, you know, the fanfare and you know, the other things that Hollywood has to offer, I guess.
What was your question in that?
the question is just, you know, how do you compare and make the transition from, you know, an easygoing kind of, you know, family-orientated type of life to the hustle and bustle of Hollywood and the constant, the constant distractions that you have?
Well, you know, to be honest, I just thought to myself, if I want to get any better, I just have to do it. You know, no matter if you like it or not, you just got to do it if you want to get better. So, you know, I had to do it, and I made the move. Now, as far as the differences, I'm a small town guy, and I like that. I had to get used to, you know, how big this is here. You know, how fast paced it is, how many people there are. You know, just stuff like that. But to me, myself, in my head, you know, no matter what you like or what you don't like, if you're wanting to get better at something, you just got to do it.
Talk to me about embracing the tradition at Wild Card. When you walk in there and you see the different pictures on the wall, you see, you know, you look over in one corner and there's a former champion. You look over here, here's a current champion. Then you see, you know, some up-and-coming prospects. Talk a little bit about that tradition and what it's like walking in there for a young fighter such as yourself.
Well, when I first walked in there, you know, like you said, everyone that kind of Freddie trains is a former champion or has been a champion or is a champion. So, you know, I was really surprised when he wanted to work with me, you know, and when he decided, you know, he wanted to do that, it gave me a lot to prove. Like I just, my work ethic kind of just, it was already good, but it just, you know, I couldn't, like, if I was back home, I couldn't have thought of a way to make it any better. But just by, you know, moving here and having someone of, you know, of his stature just, you know, work with me, just, it gave me a lot to prove. You know, I thank him for, you know, giving me the opportunity of wanting to work with me. And now I want to prove to him, you know, that he didn't make a mistake. And I'm just going to give everything I have on the line and, you know, see where it goes.
Talk to me a little bit about that call, or, you know, how you got to know, you know, I mean, well, you know, how you were approached by Freddie and Wild Card, and how you felt when, you know, you got that call saying, hey, man, I want to work with you. Come out here to California. What's that like for a young man? And getting a call from such a, you know, a well-renowned Hall of Fame type trainer.
Well, as far as, you know, I don't know, like, basically the whole story, but from what I know, you know, me and my promoter Tony Holden, we were out here in L.A. and Tony wanted to go by Wild Card, so we went by Wild Card. Freddie Roach is a real good friend of Tony's, so. You know, we went there, and we were just going to hang out. It wasn't to be anything more than that. Tony just wanted to hang out with Freddie, and then, you know, we left, and we went out and ate, and, you know, everyone went home, went to sleep. Well, and then the next morning, Tony calls me, and I guess Freddie and him had a little conversation, and Tony told me Freddie wanted to, you know, see what I got. I guess he knew somehow, you know, Tony has been out of boxing for a while since, you know, he retired. And I'm thinking that, you know, Freddie was wondering, you know, what made him come out of retirement, you know, and it was to help me because he's helped my dad before. And I guess, you know, since Tony came out of retirement and, you know, was giving me a chance, he just wanted to see what I had. So I had a little, you know, I had a little one-on-one session with Freddie. And after that, I get a call from Tony, and I guess it went really well. And while I was, from what I know, while I was working with Freddie, it went perfect on my part. I thought me and Freddie's chemistry was awesome, and I loved, you know, the little things that he taught me in just one day. And, you know, it came together, and Tony told me, you know, on that call the next morning that, well, Freddie would like to work with you. And I said, well, that would be amazing. And then, you know, that's where we are right now.
One of the things that impressed me when I first had you on the program, as I said, before you fought Matt Foster, was how you were so adamant about finding your own way. You did. I mean, even though, you know, we all know who your father is, but you wanted to insist that, you know, you didn't want to be a clone. You didn't want, you know, you didn't want really people to make that comparison, even though we naturally do, fathers and sons. We know that. But you were insistent, you know, that you wanted to make it on your own merits. Do you find that Freddie accepts you as that type of fighter, as Trey Lippe, more than the son of Tommy Morrison?
Yeah, yes, I do. I don't think Freddie's ever worked with my dad, and I'm sure, I can't say that me being my dad's son, I'm sure that might have interested him a little bit, but as far as, me and Freddie working together, I think he sees me, as me and my own person, and he's wanting to add to what I do, he's wanting to add things onto what I have. Certain things that I'm good at, and then I have certain things I'm not very good at, and he's going to work on the things that I'm not very good at, and of the things that I am good at, he wants to, just add to that and make me my own person, and I love that. So, it's all going perfect right there.
Now, as you say, you kind of came from that small-town background. You had, even though, your coach is very renowned in the game, but tell me some of the differences, the adjustments that you had to make, not just talking about living wise, but the adjustments in your training and conditioning that you find, as you move up in class to a gym like Wild Card.
The adjustments that I had to make, I had to pick up my, I had to pick up everything in every aspect, basically. I just had to focus harder. I had to pick up my conditioning. I had to commit a little more. I had to just have more focus while I'm working, with a person like Freddie. Just every aspect just got up, to a higher level. And I just had to make that commitment, and, I just had to do it. Like, my running is now a lot more, and I need that. I feel like my focus, like with Freddie will make me do one thing for quite a while till I get it right. Then he'll be like, good, and then he'll keep working on it even after I get it right to keep it the way it is. And, just every aspect of my training got raised.
Were there any different techniques, and maybe, exercises that you find now that you're doing that you didn't do before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right now he's really working on, my ring generals, if I'm moving to the – if my opponent's moving to the left, he's making sure I'm moving to the left with him with the right footwork while knowing my distance. He's working on my accuracy with my punches because he likes my power, and now he wants me to be more accurate with it. So, and another thing he's working on is with my eyes. So if I'm throwing a jab right, left hook, after I connect with my jab, he wants me to instantly switch my eyes to the next target so I can hit it with my right hand. After I've hit that with my right hand, he's wanting me to instantly move back to the next mitt, and focus on it for the left hook. So he's working on my accuracy that way. He's working on my footwork. He's working on my movement. And, that's where we are right now. And I'm sure he's going to add a lot more stuff. He's doing, Freddie has a lot of champions, like you said before. So everyone he has is a lot, is quite a ways ahead of me. So with me, he's slowed stuff down. He's doing baby steps with me, which is, that's what I need. So we're getting there, and I love the way I love his techniques and the way he's doing it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Let's talk a little bit about your sparring. How much difference is the class and quality of the sparring that you're getting now at Wild Card?
Well, to be honest, I've only trained with Freddie just 3 days. So
okay.
Yeah, I haven't had to spar yet. I haven't got to spar yet. I have sparred here in California when I was with Jesse Reed, and the sparring out here is a lot different than the sparring up there. I mean, back in Oklahoma, it's out the world of a difference. You know, everyone appears on the same level. You know, it's kind of like being in high school and you get a scholarship to go play college football. Everyone's on that scholarship, you know, the same one you're on. So everyone's kind of on the same level. It's that, you know, it's that big, that much more of a jump in competition.
Yeah, most definitely, you know, but hey, if you're going to train and learn, at Wild Card, Freddie Roach, you know, there's not much bigger of a stage than you can go on. But, Trey, let's talk about, before we talk about your upcoming fight here, I believe, when is your fight? The 28th of August? Your first fight?
The 29th, sir.
The 29th? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, is that going to be on the undercard of the Abner Mares card?
No, I think we're gonna be at our own venue in Joplin, Missouri, and I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I think that my fight against Corey Phelps, well, I think might be the main event of that night.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's the same night, but you're in a different venue. You're in Joplin.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Well, let's talk about some of the heavyweight action that's coming up. I want to get your ideas on it and talk about a couple of fighters. And I'm going to ask you about your top five of all time, since Floyd Mayweather has seemed to make that the perfect topic this week. But let's start with some of your idea on some of the fights coming up. We know Antonio Tarver. Is coming. He's back in the ring. He's fighting Mr. Steve Cunningham. Trey, what did you think? What do you think about this matchup? And what do you think about, you know, gentlemen, you know, like Mr. Tarver and Roy Jones, still trying to make it in the ring?
You know, to be totally honest, sir, I really don't know much about them two fighters. I've never really watched them fight, so I don't really know.
Well, you know, the Tarver, he's, you know, one of those older guys. I mean, he's been in the ring for a long time. You know, goes back to the Roy Jones era. Him and Roy Jones are probably most noted for their fights. But Tarver's trying to make a comeback in the heavyweight division. But we do have another fight that's coming up, and I'm sure you know this gentleman, Mr. Vladimir Klitschko. He's going to be fighting Tyson Fury. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch Tyson very much, but what did you think about Klitschko's last performance in the ring?
You know, I think Klitschko's an amazing fighter. You know, he's, from what people say, you know, he's people. I don't think people like to watch him because he's not very exciting. But you know, to me and myself, I think you can throw excitement out the window. You know, you fight how you're good. And I think Klitschko's an amazing athlete, and I think he goes in the ring, and I think he handles his business the way he's supposed to.
Yes, you know, ultimate professional. You know, he always comes in shape, like you said. I mean, it might not be the most entertaining fight in the world. He might not get a lot of style, but you know, he does get the job done, and he does get that W. Are you familiar with the work of our young American champion, Mr. Deontay Wilder? What do you think about him? And have you had a chance to watch any of his performances?
Yes, I have watched a lot of his performances. I think Deontay is an incredible athlete, especially for being how tall, you know, he is. And even for being a little, he has an incredible amount of power. You know, I haven't felt it myself or nothing, but... You know, his knockouts say enough. So, you know, I think he's an incredible person. You know, as far as being an athlete, and he goes in there and he handles his business as well.
Most definitely, Deontay's a great friend of the show. As a matter of fact, we're hoping to have him on next week, along with Hall of Fame Judge Mr. Tommy Kazmarek. So. Yeah, we are looking forward to having both of them on the show, and I was actually hoping to get you on the show with one of them. But let's talk about you know, a subject that Floyd has made very popular. He was naming his top five boxers of all time, And, of course, you know, knowing Floyd, big ego that he is, he named himself number one, and he demoted Muhammad Ali all the way down to number five. Trey, who's your top five boxers of all time?
I like now these aren't in order from one through five, but I would say my top five right now. I like Sugar Ray Leonard. I like Muhammad Ali. I like Mike Tyson. Now after them three, I forget his name right now off the top of my head, but who fought Sugar Ray Leonard then kind of retired and just he moved away? I forget his name.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Yeah, him. I think he's an incredible fighter too. And let's see, number five. You know, I can't think of a five right now. But
no problem. But I mean, you know,
there's so many. There's just so many. So I can't just at this exact second I can't think of one to just put there.
Oh, hey, no problem. I mean, you know, this is an objective. It's your top five, not mine. So I mean, you know, tomorrow, it might be a different name, you know, one or two different names, but, you know, usually we're consistent about the top three, and then after that, you know, it's very objective. Like you said, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Floyd mentioned Pernell Whitaker. I'm sure, you know, some people will talk about him. You know, you also mentioned Roberto Duran. Some people, you know, so it is very objective, but it is good to see, just kind of get in the fighter's head when to look at, you know, the same things that they are. Now, talk to us a little bit about your opponent coming up August 29th. Do you know anything about him? Have you seen any tape on him, any amateurs? What is your take on your opponent?
To be honest, I haven't got to see a whole bunch on him. Now, I've got to see two different tapes on him, but the only thing that stinks about that is they've all been about 50 seconds long.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like the only two I could find. And, you know, one, he knocks out a guy pretty quick in, you know, about 50 seconds. And then in the next one, he fought Shannon Briggs. And, you know, that one kind of didn't go his way pretty quick. So, you know, but I'm not taking nothing away from him. He's going to be my, you know, strongest opponent that I fought. He's going to have the most experience. He's going to be the most athletic person I fought. He's going to be the best boxer that I fought. So, you know, I'm going to be on my A game when that night comes. And I wish him the best of luck.
Well, Trey, you know, you are now officially, you know, for lack of a better term, you are officially in the big leagues. You know, you're training at Wild Card. You have one of the most recognizable trainers in the world. So, I mean, you know, just by that, you know, you've overnight, more or less, you've put a target right in the middle of your chest, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's already been a target in the middle of my chest, but I just feel like it's gotten, like you said, overnight a lot bigger.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, we wish, you know, we wish you the best, my man. And, hey, we hope to see you fighting, you know, out here in California soon. I mean, you know, we have the Forum, the Staples Center. You know, there's all kinds of boxing venues out here. So, you know, we're looking forward to having you out here on the West Coast, making, you know, a name for yourself as a young, up-and-coming heavyweight prospect, my man. And, hey, we look forward to having you back on the show. After your next fight or before the next one. So why don't you give all our listeners your final word for the evening, let them know anything that you might have coming up, any events or any charities that you might support. Hey, man, we appreciate your time tonight.
I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. You know, it was an honor to be on the show, and anytime y'all want me back on, I'd be honored to be back on and answer any questions that y'all have. And as far as any listeners, I just want to thank y'all for listening. And you know, just keeping up with me. You know, I'm a nobody, you know, without the people and without fans. And I just want to thank everyone for keeping up with me. And as far as charities go, I'll support any charity that's, you know, going to make a difference in the good. So thank you very much.
Well, we're just hoping, you know, that a lot of you young guys, you know, give back, you know, to the young amateurs that are coming up, those that are coming after you. And you know, that's all we expect out of the young guys, you know, just, you know, be a credit to the sport. And, hey, like I said, you know, be a shining example to those that are coming after. Trey, we enjoy your enthusiasm, and like I said, we'd love to have you back after your victory, as you continue your journey with Wild Card. So thank you very much, my man, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good night, sir.
You too. Have a good night, Trey. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Well, that was Mr. Trey Morrison. He'll be making his... he'll be fighting in Joplin, Missouri on the 29th of August. So, if you get a chance, you can watch it on YouTube. He is Freddie Roach's newest product coming out of Wild Card Gym. We look forward to having him back soon. But right now, let's get Mr. Antonio Orozco on the phone. And he also has a fight coming up very soon. Stationed right out here in San Diego. So we're going to get Antonio on the phone right quick. And here he is, our San Diego native, young upcoming prospect and soon-to-be champion, Mr. Antonio Orozco. Antonio, how are we doing this evening, my man?
Hey, how you doing, James? Doing good, thank you.
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I'm hoping that you're doing even better than I am. I mean, I see that we finally have you in the venue that we want. You're preparing for a championship fight.
It's an opportunity that I can, you know, just look over. So definitely, you know, really grateful to, you know, it's a hard work that's starting to pay off. So really looking forward to
it. Well, you know, before we start talking about your fight, let's talk about some of the other things that, you know, always make you a fan favorite, my man. I think I still hear the little one in the background. Tell us a little bit about.
Yeah, well, right now I'm pulling daddy duties right now. So, my kids, you know, they're a big motivation, and what's boxing without family, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've kind of followed you through this journey here. We know how much family means to you. Like you say, you're pulling daddy duties now. But hey, man, you know, you have kind of had the best of both worlds here, man. You're pulling daddy duty in San Diego. You know what I mean? Hey, you know, you got the ocean. You got so many things, but. Tell me, you know, how's it been being daddy and you know, still being able to train and still keeping, you know, that focus on your family? Because, you know, we do know that you are very much, like you said, family-oriented.
It's one word, my wife. You know, my wife holding a full-time job at this moment, you know, and she's been doing so since I started my professional career. That just, you know, it gives me the ability to kind of, you know, focus on my training. She's really been supportive throughout my entire career, making sure that I have the time that I need to get ready for a fight, whether it's physically, mentally. And, well, you know, right now she's having her own time as we speak. So, I mean, we try to compensate with each other. You know, she has to have her own free time also. But she's been, you know, a really big important part of my boxing career. So, you know, we have three great children. Not at all the time, but, you know, they're kids. So, I mean, we make the best of it, and we just look forward. You know, we share the same dream, and, I mean, I can't complain.
Now, you know, I don't want people to get this twisted here now because, you know, when we talk to you, you know, you sound like, you know, an older man, you know, like you know, a man that's been in this game for, you know, 10 or 12 years, and you know, you've established yourself with your wife and family. But Antonio, you're a young man, and you have a young family. How do you keep that focus, you know, at such a young age, and be such a responsible young man and father? When we see so many other fighters, you know, seeming to get their wires crossed or, you know, finding out that this is a lot harder than they thought. It's not just, you know, getting up in the morning and going to the gym and going back home. There are other responsibilities in between. How do you handle all of that?
I mean, I've had great examples in my parents, you know, and another thing was that I kind of had to grow up a little bit early. You know, I had my first child when I was 21. So that in itself, and then just surrounding myself with, like, you know, positive role models and people that I can learn from, you know, I think I've been very capable of keeping a good head on my shoulders and making wise decisions most of the time. So, you know, my parents, my father, he's, you know, still a big influence in my life. You know, I still, up until this day, I still got to give him a call to, you know, ask him for permission for a few things. And, you know, I mean, I just, having, you know, an abundance of support. It's, you know, just having people that I can rely on and, you know, just watching them while watching the other people, you know, live their lives and, you know, just staying positive, you know, thinking that it's a big difference just saying, thinking for the greater good and actually doing it. So,
most definitely, you know, again, you know, as you say, I mean, you come from the, you know, a great foundation. You have a great family background. You know, you have that support system. Explain to us what that means for a young boxer, especially a young boxer that has the potential and the talent that you do. And, you know, not only that, but the expectations, you know, that everyone kind of heaps on you, knowing, you know, that you are this young and upcoming protege.
You know, I've been boxing since the age of 10. You know, that's when I first started amateur. And, you know, from that moment, I stepped into the gym. I've had the full support of my immediate family and my family that's growing. So, you know, I think that plays a big role just, you know, mentally, you know, getting yourself prepared and just knowing that you have people backing you up. You know, as far as expectations, I mean, this is a very jealous sport. You know, I think for everybody, you know, is with an understanding that this is boxing, anything can happen. And, you know, I think we're just all conscious of, you know, what I do and what can happen. So, you know, positive thinking, you know, seems to, you know, work for training camps and once the fight comes around. But, I mean, it's, if I had to, like, just get to one specific thing, it's just having that support, you know, and just whatever happens, they're still there. Some might go away, but most of them will stick around.
Now, you know, this is a championship fight that you're preparing for. Now, tell me, is there any, have you made, you know, without giving up, you know, too many training secrets, I'll say, have you made any changes in your training regimen as far as maybe, you know, physical conditioning or maybe something that you've had to work on a little bit more? You know, like I said, without getting into specifics.
Oh, you know, I'm not going to give you my secrets. No, with every fight, you know, we just have to step up our training just a little bit more. You know, with my previous fight with Amanda Taylor, that was quite a big step up for myself. And then now with Humberto Soto, you know, we just, our training regimen just has to pick up another level or two. You know, we know he's a very experienced fighter. You know, we're probably going to go in there and whatever we show him, it's not going to be anything new to him. But we have some advantages, you know, to ourselves that we have to capitalize on. And the training has stayed the same. Just, you know, training a little bit harder just each day, you know, making sure that nothing sneaks up on us. And just put on a great show for the boxing fans. I mean, I think that's the number one priority, making sure that they get what they're looking for and securing a win. So,
yeah, you know, is this fight going to be on the undercard of the Leo Santa Cruz fight, or is this going to be at a different venue?
No, this will be a completely different venue. This will be on the undercard of Matisse Pozol.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. So, all right. So you're going to be on a pretty action packed show there. It sounds to me. Antonio, let's talk a little bit about some of these upcoming fights here before we talk about yours. The first one I want to talk about is Triple G and David Lemieux. Antonio, what did you think about this matchup when you heard about it, and what do you think about that possible matchup?
I mean, I think this is a fight, you know, that boxing fans are really going to get to enjoy. I mean, we have Triple G. He's like, I mean, the mainstream fighter at the moment. I mean, this guy's just knocking guys out left and right. And we have Lemieux, which he's a pretty good darn boxer, you know. Just his last performances that I've seen, you know, I've really been really impressed with his power, his boxing skills. So this one's, for me personally, it's a little bit of a toss-up. I mean, I can't necessarily pick one over the other. But I'm definitely going to be tuning into the fight, I'll give you that much.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, for all the disappointment we had out of some of the other fights, you know, Floyd Pacquiao, you know, the recent Danny Jacobs fight, you know, and some of the other ones that haven't quite lived up to expectations. This is one fight, you know, where it's going to be a fight. Neither one of these guys really know how to box. All they know how to do is fight. So, you know, I think they could put this one in a phone booth. I'm looking forward to it. But now let's go on the other end of the spectrum here, a fight that I'm not looking forward to, don't know why it was made, don't really understand it. But Antonio, what did you think about, you know, Floyd picking Andre Berto as his farewell fight?
For this, I can see two sides to it. You know, let's go with the good one. He's given a fighter an opportunity. You know, he said it before he retired. He was going to give some random fighter, he was going to give him the opportunity to be up there and share a big stage with him. And this is if not a big opportunity for Berto, if he can do anything with Mayweather. Now, the side that I'm not too happy about is, like you say, you know, his farewell fight, which I doubt it. I mean, I don't think you can close the curtains on 49-0. I think you might go for the 50. but then again, you know, Floyd Mayweather is where he is. You know, I mean, greatest defensive fighter you're going to find. And, I mean, you never know. Maybe Berto will rough him up in a round or two. I mean, it's Mayweather. What can I say?
Yeah, that, I mean, that, you know, that's about all you can say. I mean, you know, but, you know, my feeling is, you know, and I might be wrong, but my feeling is he fights Berto, you know, he comes back, fights Amir Khan, and then he breaks the Rocky record in a rematch with Pacquiao. But we'll see. You know, that's just my fantasy there, you know. It's fantasy football season, so that's my fantasy boxing season right there. you know, I'm going to stick with Floyd, with the Floyd theme here, because there was a very interesting question asked to Floyd. They've been talking about it all over TV all day. They asked Floyd to name his top five boxers, or his top five fighters of all time. Of course, he named himself number one. You know, he included Roberto Duran. He had Pernell Whitaker, Julio Cesar Chavez. And at number five, he said Muhammad Ali, because he'd only fought in one weight class. And because, you know, hey, you know, he didn't give him any credit for the rope-a-dope. But, Antonio, give us your top five boxers of all, your top five fighters of all time.
My top five fighters of all time. Let me see. Where do I begin? I mean, when I started boxing, you know, this was a whole different era. So I'm going to give you my era of top five. And let's just make some things clear here. When I started watching boxing, this was in the moment when Julio Chavez lost to Oscar De La Hoya. You know?
Okay.
So from that moment on, it's when I started picking up boxing. So at number one, for the success that he's had, you know, where he's at now, I think Oscar's looking pretty good at number one. I mean, he's the first fighter that I saw fight as a first professional fight, and this is Chavez. So then from there, we can go to, you know, Jose Luis Castillo. He was a very exciting fighter. What can I go from there? Then we can, you know, kind of fight it over Vasquez and Marquez at number three. So, I mean, you know, from there, you know, Gotti, you know, I'll have to put Gotti somewhere in there too. So, I mean, these were fighters that I'm picking as my top five because they've had, like, an influence, as in the style that I like to pick up and bring to the ring. So, you know, I guess you kind of see where I get my
interest. This is your top five. This is your top five, not mine. So, you know. and who would be in the fifth spot?
Man, this is a good one. You got me really thinking here. Man, that's tough. we'll just put Chavez up there, you know. We'll just put Chavez out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, Floyd included Chavez. Like I said, he had, I believe, he had himself number one. Then I believe it was Parnell Whitaker was at number two. Roberto Duran at number three. And like I said, Julio Cesar Chavez was number four. And then he had Muhammad Ali at number five. You know, it is very interesting, especially, you know, when you notice, you know, the difference in generation, you know. So, I mean, you know, quite naturally, you know, like you said, you know, some, there are fighters that, you know, that you like, you adapt to their style. You adapt, you know, your style to theirs. So it is very, very interesting to see, you know, the different styles. But I noticed you didn't put yourself at number one, so you're not quite as modest as Floyd. So,
I think I should have a lot to accomplish as of yet. So just getting started.
Oh, hey, and we hope to continue with you every step of the way, my man. Let's talk about some of the guys here and some of the other guys here in San Diego. I see some of your stablemates are also getting a little bit of notice here. I believe Mercito is going to be back in the ring soon also.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it seems like, you know, things are picking up for San Diego. A lot of the fighters here, it's, you know, we seem to be going through droughts. When, you know, we have 5 or 6 months where, you know, you guys are kind of in the background training and whatnot, and then all of a sudden, you know, you break out with a bang. So, you know, we're looking forward to having, you know, some great performances by both of you guys. But, you know, staying back true to you know, what we were talking about before, Antonio, we've heard a lot of naysayers, and we heard a lot of positive things about you know, this PBC series. We see, you know, Fox Sports has added a few years extension to their contract with the PBC series. We see HBO Latino last week put on some fights. How do you look at this new PBC series and, you know, as a young fighter, the exposure that you guys are able to get now on free TV?
You know, I think what it comes down to, it's the fighters ourselves. You know, we want that opportunity to be put out there, you know, and get recognition from boxing fans. So, I mean, it's, you know, some fights live up to, you know, to what they want to be seen as, and some others don't. But, I mean, I think just, you know, fighting on TV, fighting on some sort of network, and that's allowing you to show your talent. I mean, I don't think you should be complaining. You know, I mean, we all start somewhere. We all start in our backyards, and you know, just to be given an opportunity to be part of a network, then it's a big opportunity. So whether it's PBC, I mean, what else is going on? I was gonna say Friday Night Fights, but I mean, PBC took over that. you know, I might
have that opportunity. That's even part of the PBC series now, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but I got to be part of Top Ranks with True TV, you know, and it was, I think it was a good opportunity, you know, just, you know, open stream TV, you know, available for everyone. And so I think for the fighters, I mean, we just want to fight. We want to put on a show for boxing fans. Now, the whole stuff going on with promoters and stuff like that, then that's something that's up to them. You know, that's safe on their ballpark. You know, just let us fight. That's all we want.
Now, you know, and you know, not trying to get, you know, any specific numbers or anything like that, but has it made a difference? Have you noticed the difference? I'll put it like that. In the way that young fighters are received, and, you know, the difference, has there been a big financial windfall? Well, not big, but has there been somewhat of a financial windfall for you young fighters being exposed more on TV and having a bigger venue?
Yeah, I think once you step over that hurdle of, you know, getting some airtime, you know, people start taking notice of you, and that just opens, you know, opens doors to opportunities, not just inside, you know, the ring, but outside also. And, I mean, there's opportunities that are going to come that might benefit you, others that won't. So, you know, just fighting on any network gives you a big opportunity. But now once you start fighting, like, you know, for closed TV, like HBO, Showtime, then, you know, then you're going somewhere. So, I mean, it's just a growing process, you know, of, you know, graduating down to the next. And, I mean, if you're smart, there's opportunities out there that are going to benefit you, you know, in your boxing life and in your personal life also.
Now, do you find, what do you find more beneficial as far as career-wise? I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, it was always, you know, the guys that were on, you know, were on pay-per-view, you know, like Floyd, like Oscar, and, you know, the guys that made the big bucks. But now, with all of this free TV market, like you mentioned, True TV, we got a couple of new players in here. I mean, BET has had a fight on. Plus, we still have the show Box the Next Generation, HBO Boxing After Dark. How much have things changed in just your short career? How much has things changed as far as young fighters getting access to the TV audience and being able to put themselves out there for people to see?
Well, first you have to earn it. You know, this is my first outing on HBO. You know, this is my HBO coming out party. And, you know, from where I started to where I am now, I mean, you know, I have had, like, you know, just amounts of, you know, like, I mean, people, what I bring, you know, they're real positive, they like my fighting style. So that kind of pushes you, you know, to give it even more. Now speaking for me personally, you know, outside of the ring, I mean, I'm kind of getting known as, you know, hey, you're the boxer, you know, but I'm yet to be like, hey, you're so-and-so, I've seen you, I've watched you. And, you know, it all comes with the profession, but for me personally, I just have a dream I need to, you know, realize that I have to make it come true. And I'm getting my opportunities. I'm making the best of them. So we'll see what the turnout is after October 3rd for me personally.
Well, you know, anything less than seeing you bring the championship back to San Diego, I'm not expecting anything less. I expect the next time I introduce you on the Pugilist Corner, it'll be, and the new champion, you know, so, hey, we have high expectations for you, young man, and, you know, we've been in your corner since almost day one, so we're looking forward to you putting that strap on your around your waist. Not looking forward to you having to pay those sanctioning fees, but, you know, hey, you know, I guess that comes with the territory, you know. But, hey, man, you know, I know you're playing dad tonight, and, you know, I know you have to get back to the kids and whatnot. So why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening, my man? And, hey, thanks so much for your time, and we look forward to having you back. Like I say, when you strap that belt around your waist, and we can announce you as the new champion of the world. So give us your final thoughts for the evening. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And anything else that you might want the fans to know before we let you go?
Oh, no. You know, first of all, I want to thank you, you know, Pugilist Corner, for having me on. Like always, it's always a pleasure, you know, talking to you, talking boxing. You can find me on social media. My Instagram is at AllRelentless. My Facebook, Relentless Antonio Orozco. Twitter, Puro Box Orozco. So, you know, just thank you. I mean, thank you for letting me speak for a little bit, you know, speak my thoughts. And you know, it's always great talking with you. You know, it's not just boxing, but also family. And, you know, anytime, you know, you have my number, you know where to call, and we'll set up for the next one. So, you have a wonderful evening.
You too, and hey, man, you know, hug the kids, hug the wife, and hey, like I said, we look forward to having you back on after your next victory, my man. You have a great night.
You too, James. Thank you.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the young prospect, soon to be world champion, Mr. Antonio Orozco. We look forward to having him back on the show as soon as possible, and we thank you for your time and sticking with us through all our difficulties this evening. So have a great night, everyone, and we'll see you next week on the Pugilist Corner.